Title of our lesson this morning is, Are You Rich? I think there's a country song that says, Poor old pitiful me, in there. I just thought about that. I don't even know who sings that. But poor old pitiful me. You know, how many of us in the last week, poor old pitiful me. Oh, we look in the mirror and the weight's still there and the silver comes back. No gray, just silver. Folks, count your many blessings. Thank you, Brother DC, for that song. Oh, the riches, depth in the riches of God's marvelous grace. Tie in to remind us as we gathered this morning to remember such a great Savior, such a great God with great promises. Are you rich? Question, I'm answering the sermon this morning, yes, we're rich. Okay, invitation. Just kidding. Let's look at some passages this morning. Help us examine some things in our lives. Obviously, the passage Brother Joe read for us this morning, our lesson text. God, who is rich in mercy, show the exceedingly riches of His grace in His kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Now, the world wants us to believe that riches is just what you got in the bank. Riches is what you got in the closet. Riches is what kind of clothes you wear. Riches is the latest electronic device. But not with God. Not with God. So I ask us this morning, are you rich in mercy? Are you rich in grace? Are you rich in kindness? Are you rich in Jesus? Jesus says in Matthew 13, 18 through 23, Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives the seed on good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Obviously, Jesus is talking about the parable of a sower. And he explains this to his disciples. And if we were to look at this, there's four different types of people here. So, and I'm not a percentage type of guy, but as those of us that have to deal with metrics at work, okay? If you're going to use this, and we can't use it for this, I'm just asking us to think in these terms. 25% of the people might remain faithful. They hear the word of God. It's not necessarily true, okay? All of us hope and would be overjoyed if 100% of the people immediately continued to follow and it was good ground. But folks, Jesus says this is what's going to happen in our lives. Even though we don't like it, there's nothing worse than knowing somebody obeying the gospel and turning to Jesus and recognizing the great truths and the great I am and then deciding it's not for me. It's tough, folks. It's tough. It's tough. But for us not to give up, do you know how many times that probably happened to Paul? Jesus said, this is the deal, folks. I created those hearts. This is what happens in life. We want 100% success rate, right? How many of us would invest money and invest time and know we're only going to get, you know, what if? Now, 25% is pretty good investing money, okay? But folks, for us to use Jesus' example and recognize that that's part of the reality. What we plant, we water, God gives the increase. But you know how what we want to do? We don't feel rich. Are you rich? When you're watering and planting, you're rich. But when you don't see the increase, guess what? You're not God. I'm not God. And it's great that you care about those people that have turned from following God. But please don't make that be a deterrent for you. Please don't let that be an excuse not to continue to plant and water. What happens if a farmer has a bad day and a bad year? We've been in a world of hurt, folks. Those of us who like cornflakes, Rice Krispies, I'm just, you know, whatever. Cornbread. Could be a chicken farmer, you know, barbecue. But folks, what happens if a farmer has a bad year and he just sells everything he's got and he decides, well, he's going to do something else. Something easy like drive truck. You know, he just can go drive. I'm just kidding, brother. That's a tough job. Thank you, brother, for doing that. I know. It's even tougher for a Christian. Our jobs are tougher because we're Christian, because we want to do the right thing. We know what the truth is. And we care about people, and we care about representing the kingdom of heaven. We are rich, folks. Don't give up. Don't give up planting and water. Remember, God gives the increase. Remember that Jesus said, the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. I really want to be here. I really do this. I really need to do that. Let's make sure we recognize and hold on to those words of Jesus, and deceitfulness of riches don't choke out the word in our lives. The riches that we are looking for are brought about by the kingdom of heaven and from God Almighty. Jesus says in the book of Mark, chapter 10, then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said to them, children, how hard is it for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And they were greatly astonished, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said, with men, it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. Then Peter began to say to him, see, we have left all and followed you. So Jesus answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands and persecutions. And in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. Folks, we struggle with the same thing the disciples do, because we equate somebody that's rich and successful in this world to how much their bank account holds. Can they afford the latest electronic device? You know? How many of us still have, I'm going to ask to hold hands, raise hands. How many of us have a flip phone? Okay. Brother Todd. Brother Bill. How many of us have a smartphone? You know, all the folks in here have smartphones. See? That has nothing to do with how rich you are in Christ. Thanks be to God. How many of us don't have any cell phones? Oh, there's one, two, three. There's a handful. There's a handful. See? Some of us couldn't live without it. Back in this time, people's stature with the church and what their value was in the kingdom of heaven was whether they had bank account or not. Sadducees, Pharisees. Not so when Jesus came. That's one of the reasons why Jesus didn't buy a house when he was here that we know of. Okay? He didn't have lambs and cows and sheep and whatever else they had back in. Everything, somewhere, sure enough. He wanted to prove that our riches are in spiritual things, are in Christ, are in the kingdom of heaven. And even back as astute as these people were, and they were with Jesus in the flesh, they still struggled with that. They still struggled. Rich, poor, rich, poor, rich, poor. Money in the bank, no money in the bank. Folks, let's make sure that we don't judge each other according to that. We should judge each other that we're faithful and we're here worshiping and saying, I believe. We should judge each other because somebody says, I got that joy, joy, joy down in my heart. Not I got bills, 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 and where's the money come from? And folks, except for all you folks that are retired and on Easy Street, us people still working, we struggle with that. And I'm kidding, brothers. Sisters. That's just common to us, folks. And you know, you read about this passage, and we have brother in Christ struggle with it a little bit. Somebody from the world says, well, you know, Jesus said, he that has riches is not going to be able to get into the kingdom of heaven. So why even try? Jesus said, with all things, with God, all things are possible. You put God first. Don't trust in riches, trust in God. Are we rich? Yes. Which riches are we trusting in? Because let me ask you this question. What happens if all of us decide we're going to write a check for the balance in our bank account, and then we're going to have all our money direct deposited in the church's account every week? Oh, I'm giving all things to Christ. Then the elders are going to redistribute it. Here's 5 for you, here's 10 for you, here's 50. Oh boy, that'd be an issue, wouldn't it? Huh? Everybody gets 100. What a mess. What a responsibility to have to put on somebody. You want to think we'd complain about that? I don't want no cheese sandwiches. You know, I don't like bean soup. At least the after effects. But folks, I'm just, you know, follow something to some just some logical common sense. If you try to interpret some things literally, it just doesn't make common sense. The only thing that really doesn't make common sense is faith. Because there's hope and grace and mercy and unseen things. It's tough to put common sense in that. But when you apply those things to our lives, then it comes common sense. And one of the greatest riches that we have, folks, is eternal life. Eternal life. It's easy to worry about putting gas in the car, where we're going to eat, how somebody else is doing, how my work situation is working out, about the election for our country. But above all these things, we are rich and have the blessing of eternal life. Continuing with some words of Jesus in the book of Luke, then one from the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Just a simple way of Jesus saying, kingdom of heaven and the riches of the kingdom of heaven are far more important than the riches of this world. And we use this example and we see people come to Jesus for all kinds of fleshly things and worldly things and things about riches of this world. Now, Jesus wants us to be blessed and abundant. Jesus wants us to enjoy this life. But it's not heaven. It is not heaven. Hollywood wants you to understand that heaven is on earth. And if you're not this and you're not that, folks, our riches that are in Christ are eternal forever. We need to be rich toward God. We need to be rich towards God. So what do we ask this man? What could have he done different instead of build bigger barns and bigger buildings? And rested. You know? Is it wrong for to build new barns? Is it wrong to be multiply more and have more things and be rich in this world? No. No. But it's wrong to do all those things and decide you don't need to do nothing for God. It's wrong to have all those things and make that your success in life. Because you know what? On your headstone, what's it say? Born, died. Bank account was this amount at one time. Retired with this much in his bank account. Died not owing anybody nothing. It's never on there, folks. It's a worldly thought. And just for us to be able to put in perspective that we are rich in Him, the riches that are in Christ are far above the riches that are in this world. Jesus said in Luke 16, and I say to you, my friends, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fall, they may receive you into an everlasting home. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Folks, there's a whole bunch of stuff in this passage. But who will commit you to trust, your trust, the true riches? Folks, if you can't handle a little bit of money here and the riches that are on this earth, how's God going to entrust you with the most precious riches in the world? One of the biggest problems we have in our world today is we've got people managing multi-million dollar budgets and they can't balance their checkbook. You want to know why politicians are corrupt? Because they're not doing right with just simple stuff. And then you turn them around and give them multi-million dollar budgets. It's tough finding good people. God said that when he talks about the heart, as we read earlier. Folks, you wonder why? The more I humble myself and open my heart and put God first in my life, the more I am enabled to participate in the true riches in the kingdom of heaven. It works. It works, folks. Faith in action. Faith in action. True riches. What are true riches in your life, folks? We're all rich. And if you don't even think so, I know there's a gamut of incomes in this room. And because of time's sake, I didn't put them all up on the board, some pictures. But folks, we are blessed beyond measure with worldly things, with mammon, beyond all the history of the earth. Beyond all the history of the earth. Continuing with the New Testament and some passages, Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? Folks, I look at this verse and I'm thinking, you know, there's some things I despise in my life. Do I intentionally despise goodness? Do I intentionally despise forbearance, long-suffering? Do I despise repentance? Do I not want to do those things, folks, in my life? We are rich, and we should be in goodness and forbearance and long-suffering and repentance. Romans 9:23, it is written, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessel of mercy, which he had prepared beforehand for glory. Riches of his glory. Romans 10 and verse 12 reads, for there is no distinction between Jew or Greek, for the same Lord overall is rich to all who call upon him. Folks, one of the things that helped me with my faith at the beginning to follow Jesus is recognizing his grace, his mercy, his love, his promises are equally powerful in everybody's lives, irregardless of their weight, their gender, their bank accounts. It's the truth. There's nothing else in our lives that's the truth that works like that. You know? How I save and spend money is not how it works in Tom's life. What I do for a living is not the same thing that Ron does for a living. But when it comes to the riches in Christ, okay, we're all equal. Most importantly, irregardless of what we've got in the bank, and how many sins we've committed. Because there's a bank that we want to keep with each other, right? You sin more than I sin. My sin's worse than your sin. Your sin's worse than my sin. Not so in the kingdom of heaven. Everybody is forgiven. Jesus was such a great example of walking this earth and looking every single person in the eye, from the most vilest to the most righteous, and say, you need my grace, I forgive you. And we need to do the same thing in our lives with the people we meet. You need the grace of God. You need Jesus. You need that forgiveness in order to be rich in the kingdom of heaven. Are you rich? Are you sharing the richness of the kingdom of heaven with those around you? Oh, the depth and the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. This kind of shares a little bit with the song Brother DC picked out for us. Oh, the depth and the riches, both of wisdom and knowledge. Folks, how much money are you putting in your bank account this week, dollars and cents? How much money are you putting in your love bank account with your husband or your wife? The old love bank. Okay? How much are you putting in a knowledge bank with God this week? How much are you going to glean and look forward to and try and use knowledge and wisdom that comes from God? You are rich. How are you going to use those riches and those blessings? Now, these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one another, one against another. For who makes you different from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Now, if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? You are already full. You are already rich. You have reigned as kings without us, and indeed, I could wish you did reign, that we also might reign with you. Folks, Paul writes to 1 Corinthians, you are already rich because you are in Christ. You are part of the kingdom of heaven. You are full. Satan wants us to think we're empty. Satan wants us to think we're poor. Yes, sometimes in our lives we are weary and downtrodden, folks. But that's why a lesson like this morning reminds us that we are rich. We are rich. We are blessed. 2 Corinthians, I speak not by commandment, but I am testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. And then this, I give advice. It is to your advantage not only to be doing what you began and were desiring to do a year ago, but now you also must complete the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to desire it, so there also may be a completion out of what you have. Folks, don't give up. Don't forget, Jesus left the splendors of heaven to come down here and die for us and leave us the greatest riches that we could have, as we've read in his holy word this morning. Two more passages in the lesson this morning is yours. Philippians 4:18 through 20. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, Paul writes to the Philippians, having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. His riches, folks. His glory, his kingdom, his grace and mercy for us. And in closing this morning, we look at a passage from 1 Timothy 6, beginning in verse 17. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. O Timothy, Guard what was committed to your trust, avoiding the profane and idle babblings and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. By professing it, some have strayed concerning the faith. Folks, we are rich. Let's make sure that the richness that we put our trust in is God's richness. That they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, for eternal life, that they may lay hold of eternal life. Folks, this morning we offer an invitation to lay hold of eternal life if you haven't had your sins washed away by the blood of Christ, by being baptized into Him. Or change your focus on riches if this lesson's helped you think about the riches that are in Christ. Or if you need the prayers of the congregation for any reason, we offer that invitation at this time as we stand and sing the selected hymn.